The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Healing from the Heart with your host, Chris Chimbers. Our focus in this series is to help you understand the energetic landscape within each of us. Energetic healing helps us release negative energies and limiting beliefs, which prevent us from living life to the fullest. Chris is a healing practitioner who has helped many people connect with their heart and live their dream. Now, here is your host, Chris Chimbers.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Healing from the Heart on Voice America. I'm Chris Chimbers, and today we have a special guest all the way from the sunny West Coast, California. His name is Joe Nunziata, and Joe is an author. He's a seminar leader, among other things, and today we're focusing on his book, Karma Buster. He's also written books on spiritual selling, business, and Joe is a life coach. He's an expert in the area of energy release work. Joe has developed programs and seminars, which he gives quite often. He's the best-selling author of Spiritual Selling, Finding Your Purpose, and No More 9-to-5. Joe's been delivering his message at seminars and events since 1992. He's dedicated to empowering people and helping them move to the highest level of peace and happiness. And that's definitely what we support on this show, healing. So, Joe, how are you doing?
Yeah, very good, Chris. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So I picked up your book, Karma Buster, I guess around the time that it was published. You were saying that was in December of 2011. And I was fascinated by the idea that karma is something that we can actually work with. I was under the old impression that it was something that you were stuck with.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, that was interesting because I think a lot of people, depending on, again, your belief system and how you grew up, a lot of people look at the karmic, say, oh, this is my karma and this is what I have. And I'm kind of, my life is just going to go down a certain road and there's nothing I can do about it. And of course, that's not because we have free will here in the third dimensional world, that's one of the things that we are blessed with. We do have a karmic road or a karmic map, but we can, you know, really amplify it and accelerate our process and progress or go in the other direction. And it's something that I want the people to be empowered to say, hey, I have the ability to make changes in my life if that's what I want to do. And understand that that is something that is within your power. And again, something that a lot of people embrace and a lot of people don't want because they don't want to take it on. But it really depends on your own personal journey.
Mm-hmm. I like your definition here that your karma is the blueprint for the emotional work you came to experience in this lifetime. That's well said.
Yeah, thank you very much. And you know what I wanted people to understand was you do have a blueprint, and this is why you see different people having different experiences. Like some people have very easy lives, and you say, wow, this person's life is easy, and they don't have a lot of struggles, and they don't have a lot of problems, or you know, that may be your perception, but there are people who just do have easier lives, and they came, you know, to have an easier life. So mm-hmm. We're always in this comparison and judgment. Oh, this person's life is better, or mine is worse, and we really don't want to do that because your journey is unique to you, and you want to really embrace all aspects of it because that's when it becomes fun.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And your idea, of course, is that we're not victims, but that we chose our experiences in this lifetime.
Right. So you actually chose to have these experiences that you're having and to have the issues that you're having before you came because that's part of your karmic map. And mm-hmm. basically, so imagine yourself. I like to use an example with people when I talk to them and I say, imagine you're on the other side before you came and you kind of had a laundry list of emotions that you wanted to feel. And you could say, well, I want to feel abandonment. I want to feel depression. I want to feel disappointment. I want to feel unworthiness. These are things that I want to experience before I come here. And you kind of make that list and you kind of bring it with you. And people say, my God, why would I do that? And because that is why we're here. That's what this dimension is really about. Because at higher levels of energy and vibration, we're in a love state. There is no other side. There is just the love, and that's it. So here we actually get to have all these wonderful yin-yang experiences. And again, this is something that we want to embrace.
Mm-hmm. As for each individual has their own path and their own journey, their list of things that they need to experience for their own purposes. So everyone, there's no point in comparing to anybody else.
Yeah, because yours is going to be different than mine. And, you know, I'm, sure. I have different things to feel and experience than you do. So that being said, you know, because I have a different experience and you have a different experience, emotionally we have different roads to go down. For you to compare yourself to me or vice versa, it really doesn't serve any purpose. It doesn't make any sense because
no.
It's almost like saying, you know, you came to be a fish and I came to be a bird. What, you know, those they're not comparing each other. It's really that kind of thing. It's that simple.
Exactly. So how would you work with someone then to clear their karma? How do you help somebody do that?
Well, it really depends. What I find is, you know, I work with a lot of people. It's been so many years of doing this work at different levels. And the first issue for me, or the first question, I should say, is I wanted to see where that person is in their own journey. So some people will come or, you know, they'll read the book or they'll call me and they're early on. And they really need more work on their general awareness, their general understanding of the principles or spiritual, energetic, or metaphysical principles that are surrounding us on a daily basis. And that would be the first step for that person, to really elevate their awareness, to bring them into a different place, a different type of belief system, because you have to realize that a lot of people, they're holding on to the old belief system that they have, and they're holding on to religious beliefs in some cases, or family beliefs that have to be, you know, you have to be open to looking at things in a different way. Other people who Yes. have done some work, you know, then we'll really start getting into the emotional issues, because to clear the energy, you have to deal with your feelings and your emotions. And if you don't do that, you really can't go forward. So then we start to get in. That's really where the heavy lifting is really getting into those emotions and getting into those feelings that are triggering these vibrational fields that are creating upset in your life. So I kind of look at the people individually based on where they are and then kind of take them through accordingly.
So it does come back to emotions that are in the energy field. Now that, as you know, I'm into the emotion code and the body code, and that's exactly the same concept. That's why I find what you're doing is so similar to my work. It's fascinating, but you're bringing this karmic element, which I was not exposed to before.
Yeah, just, you know, it's all emotionally driven, but the karmic element gives people a better, I think, understanding. It makes a lot of people more relaxed because they realize, okay, this is what I'm here to do, as opposed to feeling victimized or feeling like I can't get a break. But understanding it from this position of choice really changes the way people see it because they say, oh, okay, this is what I'm here to do, when they can get to that place, obviously. Some people do resist that because they can't understand or accept why they're in that space.
But so once you take responsibility for what you're holding, you'll see that it does create the circumstances outside the same way.
Yeah, then you can, once you own that feeling and you can get into that level of acceptance, you can really then begin to make progress. But again, there are a lot of people, because we are very mental, and you know, you want to be rational, and I always tell people, those of you who are very sensible will have the hardest time.
Mm-hmm.
because you want everything to make sense, and this is not going to make, you know, logical sense. So that's where people get a little bit stuck. So once, you know, you have to get people past that part of their lives, and it is hard because it is the way we have been trained and conditioned, which has been to, you know, go through this process and to, you know, see ourselves in a certain way and make sense of things and have everything kind of line up in a certain way. And this work, as you know, Chris, dealing with emotion is very different. And mm-hmm. taking people out of that logical brain, which is where they want to keep running back to. So that's the challenge. I think that's the challenge that I face, and I think everybody faces doing the work. But once you get past that, then you can really make progress.
Yeah, last week on the show we did an exercise to join with our inner child. So you're preaching to the choir today, because everybody listening now has been through that exercise and they've linked up with their inner child, their subconscious mind, and so we're not thinking so linearly as we were before.
Yeah, again, there are people who do, but most of the people who would be attracted to your show or my book or what I'm doing are open. And as you get open, this is where the miracles take place, as you know, when people open up and they start to see the world in a different way and accept different possibilities, and then all of a sudden, good things start happening. So that's really, for me, it was a couple of things that are very, very important. One is give them that mind-expanding view. Secondly, for me, being a New Yorker originally, now living in California, but, it was that practical approach where people would say, okay, show me what to do. How do I do this? And that was a big issue for me, even dealing with a lot of books and a lot of seminars where I would say, wow, this is really interesting, but I have nothing to do. What do I do with this?
How do we make this practical?
Yeah, how do I apply this in daily life? It's nice to say love everybody, and, we're all one energy, and we're all good, and you should love every person and look the other way, and it's just not going to happen. It just doesn't happen. So it's a nice idea, but here in this world, in this third dimensional world, where we do have the polarity of yin-yang and positive-negative energy, we're here to experience both sides of it. So the idea that I'm just going to love everybody and be in that state all the time here is not really what we're here to do.
Okay. See, for me, the universe is ultimately the universe is a positive energy force. It is movement, and we do have in the physical world, as you say, there is polarity. But I think you're saying that you're able to look at the negative things as something that we can accept.
Yeah, there really are no negative things. We see it that way, but. Of course, we have to label it and judge it because that's what we do. But there are really no negative things, but there is polarity. So it allows me, the polarity, what that does is it allows us to feel the emotion, because if I don't know fear, I can't know love. If I don't know, if I don't know the negative side, if I don't know disappointment, I can't know the feeling of exhilaration and feeling successful, because I don't have anything to compare it to. So that's really what the negative, quote-unquote, energy is here for, to give us the ability to feel emotion on both sides. If I don't have side A, I can't have side B. That's really what it is. So there's no negative in the big picture, but here in this world, we do see it that way, and that's part of what creates that yin-yang energy.
Right. So, but in the energy release, what we are doing is releasing those things that block us, and that do contribute negatively to our energy.
Yeah. But
so once that's released, though, what how do you see the zone that we're in? Because I think it's the heart takes over at this point, and then we are in a loving space.
Oh yeah, and I noticed myself, obviously very much being in a different space, and I think what happens is when you get into that higher vibration of loving space, you really drop your judgment. Because the judgment is really creating a lot of the conflict and friction for us. So once you're in that place of acceptance and love, even when something happens to you that is maybe unpleasant or you don't like, you understand it and say, oh, okay, this is part of what I'm here to do. I don't have to go down that road of the judgment road, the negativity road. I understand that it's okay. It's all part of what I'm here to process. And it takes me out of that space of being negative and seeing it that way. But that takes time to get to that peaceful state, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
So until I get enough of that negative energy out, it's hard for me to process that way. But it took me many, many years to get to that point where I could just say, hey, this is happening, and I have to look at it from a different perspective and understand it from a different place, and then I can move through it quickly. But, again, in human form, as we know, those things are challenging to do, and it takes a lot of releasing of negative energy to get into that place where you are peaceful for the most part, most of the time.
Oh, yeah. So what do you mostly work with people on? What kind of issues do you find most people are looking to heal in their lives?
Well, I basically look at there's really only a couple of issues that we all have, because we're all one energy, so therefore we're always going to have the same issues. And when you look at, human life, basically, you're looking at a few basic things. One would be relationships, of course. One would be your career and your financial or success situation. And the third one is going to be the health or weight issue. So generally, right. everybody, you know, if they have some kind of dysfunctional energy or negative energy, it's going to hit them in one of those three spots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's there's really the menu is not that large. You know, people want to make it more complicated. But, you know, I'm kind of a very simplistic in my approach to this because I could make it really convoluted. I feel like that's what attorneys do. They want to make everything very complicated so nobody understands it. To me, this is really very simple. It's hard to do it and execute it, but because obviously in human form we have our shortcomings. But as far as what it is, it's not that complicated. It's just
True.
Executing it that is more challenging.
True. Yeah, truth at its core is simple.
Very simple. I could teach this to a five-year-old because it's that simple. Executing it in third dimension, of course, is a different issue. But as far as it's not that complex in that sense, I think it's pretty simple. It's just obviously when you're dealing with emotion, then it becomes much more challenging.
And also the decision for someone to want to work on themselves, to want to look within, I think that could take somebody practically a lifetime to get to that point.
Yeah, and again, again, there are seekers and not seekers. And this is something for me that was very difficult because I knew, of course, as we all do, you know, family members and friends that we know for a long period of time that we really want to help and we feel we can help, but they really don't want to go down this road. They don't want to be mm-hmm. helped. They don't want to be healed. They're not interested in the work. And it's being okay with that. You know, it's, again, mm-hmm. not being in that state of judgment toward that person and just saying, hey, you know what? This is what you want to do. That's okay. And
right.
that was one of the things that drained a lot of energy from me early on with this work because I would see every person as, I have to help this person. I have to help this person.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then after a while, I said, wow, this is not working out too well.
Why isn't that working?
I need to make an adjustment. And, you know, I always use my analogy of being a fisherman. And I say, you know, I put my hooks in the water. Whoever wants to jump on the hook, great. If you want to swim by the hook, that's fine. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's okay. I have to be okay with that. And that was a big lesson for me.
Exactly. Well said. Yeah, I've had the same experience, and it's just not their time. You know, their time will come when it comes. It's and you can't preach this kind of work either. You can't convince anybody of it.
No, it's
they have to come to it.
You know, and I thank you for saying that. I think it's, you know, we're here, people like us. I'm here to share this information, and even when I speak now, because early on, I think I was much more forceful in my approach, and it was just really out of excitement to try to help people. But mm-hmm. I learned over time to really temper how I approach it, and now I'll go out and I'll say, hey, I'm going to share information with you. I'm going to share what I've learned. It will help me. Please, if you like it, great. If you don't, that's okay. And it has really changed the dynamic for me and helped me, I think, you know, reach more people because it's not in this, hey, I can show you how to do this and you have to do it. And it really shut people down. So, again, this is all our own personal journeys, and for me personally, I had to really make that adjustment, and it did help me really go forward in a different way because I was able to be more relaxed and say, hey, you know, I'm just putting it out there, and you know, I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you can apply some of it, and if you can't, that's okay. But again, this is us within ourselves coming to certain conclusions and understanding.
Right. And we're part of the healing journey too ourselves. We're working on ourselves as we help others too.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, that's part of our own journey and process to understand that. So now, like that, you know, me, I'm here to share the information and share what I've learned and things that I've done that have been effective for me and many, many other people that I've worked with and read books and so forth. But again, and then you as an individual take that and do whatever you like with it, and that's great.
Right. So we're going to go to break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Joe Nunziata, author of Karma Buster on Healing from the Heart.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Do you dream of living your life to the fullest? Are you open to the possibility that what is missing from your life may be related to beliefs, programs, and emotional energy trapped inside you? Heart Freedom offers individual sessions with energetic healer Chris Chimbers to help you release the unwanted energy that holds you back. Let your heart become an active player in your life. energetic healing is discreet, gentle, and gets results. Beautiful dreams come true when your heart's powerful energy is working to make them real. Would you like to free your heart and experience life without emotional baggage? Visit our website at www.heartfreedom.ca and book your appointment today. The life you've dreamed of is within your reach. Take that step and visit heartfreedom.ca today.
In times of personal transformation and growth, sometimes you need assistance to help set you on the right path. Angela Bushman provides that assistance. Tune in each week for her show, Shine Your Light. With Angela's guidance, you can identify and overcome your fears, learn to let go, and share the joy of authentic living. Angela leads by example and invites you to join her on this path of discovery. Shine Your Light with Angela Bushman is heard live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be the change. The 7th Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Are tuned in to Healing from the Heart. To reach Chris Chimbers or today's guest, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. That's toll free 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to info@heartfreedom.ca. Now, back to Healing from the Heart.
Well, welcome back to the show. Today on Healing from the Heart, we have our wonderful guest, Joe Nunziata. Joe is the author of Karma Buster. He's a life coach. He's an energy release expert and author of several books. And today we're talking about the issue of karma and how we can heal our karma. One thing I noticed in the book that you emphasize a lot, Joe, is allowing yourself to receive. Would you talk to us a bit about that, please?
Yeah, that's a big issue. You know, of course, I went through two bankruptcies by 30 years old, and I was the hardest working person you ever met in your life. So, of course, that didn't make any sense to me. But one of the things that doing this work opened up for me was I was really bad at receiving, and this was based on the conditioning I had growing up. And it goes back to the old saying that we all hear all the time: "It's better to give than to receive." And we've been hearing this our whole lives, and you know, I remember going to Catholic school in New York, and the nuns would talk to us about how being poor, you know, brought you closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the kind of things you're hearing, you know, at home, and these are the kind of things you're hearing, like, you know, rich people are bad, and, you know, when you don't have anything, that's how you really connect to God and all these things. So grow up, you know, even though I was an ambitious person who mentally wanted to be successful, my energy was not that of somebody who really wanted to receive, because I learned, you know, I just did not know how to do it. I really didn't know how to do it. And I think for us, when we look at ourselves growing up, and I always say to people, you know, when you went to ask for something, what happened? When you went to your dad and said, "Could I have money for ice cream?" what happened? And these are the kind of things that set the foundation for your ability to receive. And when people said, you know, "We don't have any money," or "This is it, you don't need that," or "Don't ask me again," when you started hearing all this early on, it really created that feeling for you that, well, if I ask for something, or if I want something, or if I desire something, I'm a bad person, and I have to stop myself, because that's a place that I don't want to go. And all of a sudden, you know, you're 30, 40 years old, or whatever it is, or 50, and you say, you know, "I have such a hard time receiving things," and the reason is because you're not conditioned to do that.
And all those desires, have all been pushed down.
Yeah. And you just don't know how to do it. You really just, it's almost like it's something I don't know how to do. It's like I never learned how to do it, because it was not something that was in my family was considered a positive. So the minute that you go down that road, you immediately are saying, well, I want to ask for something, but my energy behind it is so fearful and negative that I'm actually pushing it away. So this ability to flip yourself and say, okay, I want to move myself into a receiving mode, and it's not as easy as just flipping a switch, is really important, because until you get into more of a mode of feeling good about receiving, it's very hard to build yourself back up and take yourself where you want to go.
Sure. Oh, that's a big one. That is great. You've mentioned that you have a spiritual teacher. Could you tell us a bit about her, please?
Yeah, this woman, well, I had different teachers along the road, and my last teacher, her name was Susan Kerr, K-E-R-R, and she was also in New York, and it was just kind of a strange thing how the universe brings people into your life. And the way I met her was I was on Amazon one night, and at that time I was starting to really search, and this is many years ago, but I was searching for books on, you know, you just would type in whatever, energy, metaphysical, I don't even know what I was typing in. And a book came up, and it was her book, and I bought it, and it was a book called System for Soul Memory, and it was all about how your chakras work and your energy works and how all these things are creating your life. And I got the book and I read the book, and it was actually right after that my wife ended up hurting her back and she was kind of out of commission for a while. And I read the book and kind of put it away. And a year later when she was feeling better, I picked it up again and looked in the back of the book, and I go to her website and I see that she actually lived, at that time I lived in New York on Long Island, she actually lived about 30 minutes from me. Mm-hmm. And I emailed her and set up a session. And that's how we met. And I remember when I met her, the first thing she said to me was, and she didn't know me other than my first name, and she said, you know, I just want to let you know, I'm going to be your last teacher, and I'm going to teach you the last things that you need to do here. It's going to take you a while to really, you know, bring all this into your life, and then you're going to end up teaching this work. So at that time, I wasn't really thinking about that because I was more of really working on my own self. I was never thinking about teaching this to somebody else. But she, you know, again, is an enlightened person, and showed me how to work with my energy and how to really break it down, and that was kind of the foundation of a lot of the work that I do now.
All right, that's impressive. Just to briefly bore you a little bit here, but my path was also when I discovered the emotion code. I found that I went for a session, and immediately I noticed that this was starting to work, and this I determined very quickly that this is something that I wanted to do and share with others. So we all find eventually the path that's really, you know, right for us. So you had been writing books on business, and you know, you had the book Spiritual Selling before.
Well, my first book was actually called No More 9-to-5. So what I used to do, because I have a sales and marketing background, I was teaching people how to start a business from home while they were working, because that's what I did. Mm-hmm. So many years ago, I said to people, and this was like around 2000 when I wrote the book, and I was telling people, you know, don't ever just depend on a job because you never know what will happen. And people at that time, because the economy was good and everybody was doing well, and they kind of thought, well, you know, I work at a bank and I work in a, you know, whatever kind of job that I have. And it's a very safe job, and, you know, I don't have any issues.
Secure.
So, you know, of course, now I was prophetic 8 years later, but at the time when I wrote the book, I was just saying, hey, you know, it's just good to do something on your own. So that was kind of my original things that I did. But I always added an element of personal development into it, and then I was teaching sales and marketing, and then I wrote the Spiritual Selling book in 2007. It came out. That's when I really started to get more into this work as far as coming out of the closet with this work, that I was more of a spiritual healer, because early on, you know, the people I knew who knew me in the business world, they knew me as a sales and marketing, you know, kind of start your own business person, not a spiritual energy healer.
Right, right. So that's sort of, it's like, you know, like you say, it's like coming out of the closet with this.
Yeah, it was like a weird thing, because all of a sudden I said, now I'm going to come out and start talking about this stuff, and these people see me in a different way, and this is going to be kind of a strange experience. But, you know, it was all good in the end.
Yeah, because you're speaking your truth. You're just, you know, you're bringing your truth, and people will accept it or reject it as they will.
Yeah, it's just having the confidence and courage within ourselves to do it. You know, we do it, but, you know, we do have those feelings and issues where we feel. I was fearful, I have to tell you, about saying, can I make a living doing this, and will people accept me doing this? That was really more of it for me.
But certainly now, the climate now, right now, there's a lot of openness to this kind of thing now. It's you know, increasing by the year, isn't it?
Oh, God. I mean, I even think about, you know, when the Spiritual Selling book came out, and I was living in New York, and I remember sitting with, you know, I'd be sitting with sales managers or people like that wanted to talk to me about doing training work, and they were looking at me like I was crazy. So, like they said, Spiritual Selling, what is that? Like, what does that have to do with me doing my numbers and making more sales? And they were so removed from that concept, and now as we've gone through a lot of changes, we are seeing people who are more, although there are still a lot of people still in the old, you know, paradigms of life, but mm-hmm. I will tell you, but more and more people now are searching and looking and open because they, you know, they've tried a lot of things and they've had, a lot of people have had success in the third dimensional world and they're not happy. So mm-hmm. you know, that's also an element to it. It's like, well, you know, I've been successful. I have money. I've done a lot of things and I'm not happy. So
have you seen that, the documentary, I Am?
Yes, exactly. You know, it's all a lot of people who have gone down these roads and said, well, you know, I've kind of gone down this road and I've been to a certain space and, you know, this is my ideal of what I thought I was supposed to have to be a happy person and they're still not. So it's very interesting. I find it to be a really interesting time, although I think we're really just now coming into the acceleration portion of it. I think we're just getting to a point where we're hitting a critical mass where enough people are really into it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to really see, I think, a very big shift in how people operate and how business operates in the next couple of years. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to not come without a little pain. But as far as how the all transitions do create that kind of abruptness to them or whatever you want to call it, but I think we're going to really get into a much better place, but it's going to take a little time and a big transition.
Yeah, when the tree gets shaken, then you find out what's there, what gets dropped to the ground.
Yeah, you're going to see some a whole lot of shaking, and I think a lot of, you know, you're upsetting a paradigm that's been around for a long period of time, and you're going to start to shift wealth, and I think you're going to see a lot of changes take place. But for those of us who are on the road here, it's going to be great. For those people who are in the old paradigm, they're going to have a hard time.
I think too. Look at things like these tornadoes and hurricanes. You know, when you're just your house is completely wiped out, there's nothing left. You know, I mean that's got to be life changing for anyone.
Yeah, and I think what we're also seeing as a result, and I've seen this with a lot of people who've lost jobs that they've had for a long time, and, you know, good jobs and good, you know, in industries that are now really not hiring anymore. They've lost Wall Street jobs or bank jobs, and it's forcing people out of their identities.
Mm.
It's forcing people out of who they think they were or who they thought they were supposed to be, and it's also very humbling for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, I had a guy who lived near me when I was in New York at that time, and he was a Citibank guy, and he had all his 401k, and he was kind of a condescending type of guy. He had a pretty good career and worked in Citibank for a long time, and he had his whole 401k in Citibank stock. And I remember when that happened in 2008, it went from, I think it was $60 or $70 down to, I think it was $1.50 at one point.
Mm.
So imagine, like, I have my entire life and thought he did everything right and thought he was so, you know, he knew what he was doing and he was such a master of finance, and all of a sudden the universe said, well, let me show you another side of this. So it did humble a lot of people, and although I think the bailout actually slowed us down, because I think had they just left it alone and let everything kind of go through its natural process, I think we would have been accelerated. So I think we slowed ourselves down a little, but it doesn't matter because the inevitable still happened.
And we're all still experiencing, as you say, what we've come here to experience.
That's absolutely correct. So, you know, it doesn't matter whatever's happening, and you could be mad about it or judge it or be mad at the president or whatever you want to do. It doesn't really have anything to do with, unless it helps you deal with an emotion or a feeling that you're here to feel, it doesn't really help you too much.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about this. You have a chapter called The Pitfalls of the Other Side. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I talk about the other side of the rainbow, I call it, with people. And what I mean by that is, a lot of people, you know, we focus a lot of energy and attention on what we don't like and what we want to get rid of and what we want to change. And then we start to look at what we want. And I think most people, you know, this is what I want, or what they think they want, I should say. Because a lot of people don't even know. They just think they want something. And all of a sudden, it's kind of the thing where you say, well, what happens when I get to this place that I'm saying that I want to be in? Whether that's being more successful, whether that's being in a relationship, whether that's losing 50 pounds, I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But energetically, it's a very different energy when you're in that space versus where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the exercises that I have people do is actually emotionally take themselves into the space of how it will feel, not just visualize it, but emotionally, I call it emotionalizing, where I'm emotionally in the space of how will it feel when I'm 50 pounds lighter? How will it feel when I have $10 million? How will it feel when I meet the love of my life? What is that going to feel like? And what it does for people is it brings up all the fears that they have and all the issues that they have of having that other side that they want. And what they don't realize is until they clear those feelings, they will not be able to accomplish that. And that is
brilliant.
That's something that people don't really look at enough, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's like the lottery winner, eh? Who goes bankrupt a year later because they weren't prepared for that influx of money all at once.
Yeah, and you see this, you know, when we think about it, Chris, with actors, and we see people all of a sudden who are unknown. And I'm out in L.A. I'm not in L.A., but I'm close. But you know, I know I work with some actors too, and some people. But it's very difficult to go from zero to a million. In a very short window of time. And even these people who I've met who said, yeah, I was acting for a long time, and all of a sudden when I hit, it was like unbelievable, like what happened after, you know, you're working on it. And I remember in New York working with bands and people like that who were, you know, out there playing, and all of a sudden when everything clicked, it's like an explosion. And you have to be ready for that, even though it's like, wow, I've been dedicating so much time to doing this and getting to this place, whatever that place may be. It is an adjustment that you have to be ready for, and we see a lot of people not handle it well.
Oh, and yeah, it's so sudden, and how can you really prepare for that anyway?
Well, you can. So, like, I've been emotionally preparing myself every step of the way. Because now, not to say you could ever be 100%, but if you emotionally prepare yourself for that next space, you will be ready, much more ready than the normal person. So if you sit there and say, okay, what is this feeling? What will this feel like to be in this? Now, obviously, you're never going to be 100%, but you could get a pretty good idea to say, wow, how's it going to feel when I have this kind of career or this kind of money coming in or when I have this person in my life that I've always wanted or when I get myself in really great physical shape and that's what I've been wanting to do for all these years? What does that feel like? Mm-hmm. And just the idea of understanding that feeling is a really great awareness exercise to help you as you continue on the journey.
Very good, because as when we have the negative energy inside us, we're going to deal with unworthiness, and I don't deserve this, or somebody's going to come in and try to take it away from me, or these people are going to start hitting on me because I look so good. So preparing, and so you're saying that we need to take charge really of the future where we want to go
prepare for that. It's almost like I'm preparing my energy for the next phase. So it's kind of like running a marathon. Like you would never be able to run 26 miles if you never ran before, but you would say, okay, I have to go out in the first day, maybe I'm going to run a half a mile, and then I'm going to keep doing it. So what you're doing is, in that case, you're conditioning your body for a long run, which you would not be able to do overnight. Same idea. I'm conditioning myself emotionally for moving into this different space, and I'm going to keep working on that. So, for example, myself, I keep conditioning myself for the position of reaching a lot more people. So whatever that looks like, and I don't get caught up in how it happens, but my idea is I want to reach a lot more people so I can help a lot more people heal. But I know that when you get into that space, and as I continuously, and I've been working on this for a long time, I know I'm going to receive a lot more positive accolades, but I'm going to receive a lot of criticism. People are going to say I'm full of crap. People are going to come after me. So I'm going to have a lot more money. I'm going to have a lot more responsibility. I'm going to have people coming after me for a lot of different things. I have to manage my finances in a certain way. I have to maintain my grounded energy and not let my ego take over because I'm still the same person doing the same work. So these are all energetic things that I work on every day to say, okay, as I'm expanding, I want to keep being prepared that when it starts happening and as it is already happening, I am getting ready for the next piece of the emotional journey. So you're never ready for everything, but it's kind of like a coach when I was playing football or basketball in school. The coaches always prepared us for every situation. And when it came to the end, you know, if you're a basketball fan and tonight you're going to watch the NBA Finals, when it's the last minute of the game and someone has to take a shot, the coach doesn't sit there and say, well, what do you think we should do? You know, he has a play. But they've been practicing that play over and over and over again because what they know that moment is very potential, that moment's going to come up, and we need to know what we're going to do.
Absolutely. Well, that's great advice. Well, we have to go to break again, So we're continuing with our fantastic guest here, Joe Nunziata. We'll be right back with Healing from the Heart on Voice America.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Do you dream of living your life to the fullest? Are you open to the possibility that what is missing from your life may be related to beliefs, programs, and emotional energy trapped inside you? Heart Freedom offers individual sessions with energetic healer Chris Chimbers to help you release the unwanted energy that holds you back. Let your heart become an active player in your life. Energetic healing is discreet, gentle, and gets results. Beautiful dreams come true when your heart's powerful energy is working to make them real. Would you like to free your heart and experience life without emotional baggage? Visit our website at www.heartfreedom.ca and book your appointment today. The life you've dreamed of is within your reach. Take that step and visit heartfreedom.ca today.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens. Be visionary. Be extraordinary. Be the change. This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are tuned in to Healing from the Heart. To reach Chris Chimbers or today's guest, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. That's toll-free 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to info@heartfreedom.ca. Now, back to Healing from the Heart.
Well, welcome back to Healing from the Heart with our special guest today, Joe Nunziata. Joe's the author of Karma Buster, and we've been talking about how we can heal our karma. We've been talking about how we need to learn to receive the good things and deal with our blocks against receiving, the pitfalls of the other side of the rainbow. And we've talked about how we need to train for success. This is brilliant. We were just talking about that. And it seems like the same mindset an athlete in training uses, that we can't really imagine the feelings of really succeeding like we'd like to, and it can be difficult when we do achieve some kind of success, and how not preparing can keep it away from us. So, Joe, you have a concept of the true self. Now, I think of it as the connection between our conscious mind and our inner child. So how would you describe our true self?
Well, your true self is kind of the essence of who you are, and I think this journey is all about loving yourself unconditionally, and that's really what we're here to do. So that's really who your true self is just loving yourself unconditionally for who you are, and, you know, obviously with your warts and all, and really just being okay with that and having that feeling of just inner love. And, mm-hmm. and I always think of the journey here being all about that. So the identity that we create, which we do need an identity here in the third dimensional world to have this experience, is really the key as far as saying how much investment or how much am I the identity and how much am I of my true spirit self, of my true essence of who I am, which is really that feeling of love and joy and peace. So that's kind of the issue for people, and I will ask them, you know, how invested they are in this identity, or what they're showing the world, who they think they're supposed to be. That's really the difference between how far somebody goes. And that's what we want to look at, to say, okay, are you a person who's really invested in this third dimensional identity of who you think you're supposed to be, or are you willing to give that up to get to your true essence, which is really self-love? And that's kind of how I always see it, but it's an interesting journey because there is a lot of investment for people in the identity or the false identity, and that kind of holds them hostage and doesn't let them get to that feeling of self-love.
Fair. Well said. Great. So on this show, we're trying to get our listeners to have some experience of what we're doing in terms of the healing. And I'd like to get around to some kind of exercise that we might be able to do. And but before we do that, could you just summarize really what this Karma Buster book is about in a couple minutes?
Yeah, basically the book is about identifying what I call your karmic wheel. It's a term that's been used, which is identifying your wheel or your cycles of behavior, specifically in this case the ones that you want to break. Mm-hmm. So the reason we use the word buster is because we want to break the negative cycle. And when I break or clear or dissolve a negative cycle of energy, I can replace it with a positive energy that I now want to create what I desire. So the book was about identification of your cycle. And then once you understand what's going on, and then you understand the emotional issue, the emotional energy that's creating the cycle and triggering it in the first place, once you go through that process and you've gone from point A to point B, then I take people through the actual meditation processes and different things that they can do and exercises that they can use to start to clear the negative energy on a daily basis. And as we do that, we start to live our lives in a different way. And I want people to be clear, whenever we're doing work on ourselves, it's not about getting a new technique or saying, oh, now I'm going to do this for 3 weeks. It's really about integrating things into your life to live a spiritual life, if you want to call it that, or an enlightened life. So I always use the analogy of health. And if I want to be healthy and I want to be in good shape, I don't say, well, I'm going to go to the gym for a month, do whatever I have to do, lose 10 pounds, and then I'm never going to go back. I have to live a healthy lifestyle. This is exactly the same.
Yes.
So you have to say, okay, I'm going to commit to living an enlightened lifestyle, which means I have to integrate these things into my life as I go. And of course, we add different things along the road. But that's how I want people to look at it. It's not about, okay, do this, and here's the quick fix, and do this for 3 weeks, and you'll be fine. It's the integration into your daily life that makes all the difference.
And that would indicate that they make some kind of commitment to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, hey, listen, if you want to be in good shape, if you want to be physically fit, that's a commitment there.
Mm-hmm.
No difference.
Brilliant. Okay, I'm just taking a note here. I'm learning as we're speaking here today. Beautiful. Okay, now you have a number of exercises that people can do, and I would like it if we could share one of those exercises with the listeners today.
Okay, great. So let me give you this one that I think is a great starting point, and I call this my daily clearing meditation.
Okay, so we need to be sitting quietly. Can we be in our car, or we have
No meditation is happening in your car. I know people think they're doing that or when they're jogging or whatever, but you really can't do it because your brain is engaged. Mm-hmm. So a meditation, like anytime you're going to do a meditation of any kind, and it doesn't have to be a whole ordeal, but what you generally want to do is you want to be sitting down, not lying down. If you lie down, your brain will go into sleep mode, you'll fall asleep. Mm-hmm. So you want to be sitting, and you want to find a spot that's comfortable. I like to, you want to find a spot preferably that you're going to meditate in the same spot all the time, because that builds energy in that spot. And then you can lean up against, you want to be on the ground preferably. I know some people like to do it in a chair. I really like it better if you're sitting on the ground, because your mind will be free that way. And find a spot, and you can lean up against the chair or pillows, or be comfortable. Put your legs straight out or fold, or whatever works for you, and you're going to find that little area. So whenever we're doing any kind of meditation, we want to pick a spot. I have candles, I have a whole altar, I have a whole thing that I do, but this has been a long time coming. So if you're just starting out, it's just like pick a spot, that'll be fine for you. So you start off with a couple of deep breathing exercises. One of the things that I find is most of us do not breathe enough, and we don't take in enough oxygen. And you get about 60 to 70% of your energy from oxygen, and we don't breathe deeply enough on a regular basis. So that's what you want to do first. Just start breathing really like kind of one, two, three, very slowly, really deep, where you see your whole stomach push out with air, and then slowly exhale. Just do a couple of inhales and exhales. That's how you're going to position yourself. So mm-hmm. what I like to do in this meditation, but there's kind of a part A and B. Part A of this process is I want to be very aware of my emotions and my feelings. So that means during the day, I want you to be more aware of how you feel throughout the day. Now, most people, they're not in their feelings. They're too busy in their brain doing something, going from point A to point B, getting to work, whatever you're doing. You're not in your emotional state. You're in a mental state. So in order to do this and heighten your awareness, I want you to be more in an emotional state. So get a little more emotional, get a little more connected to how you feel. That's going to be the key to the first part of this process, is we're going to do that. So that's phase one. Now, I want you to look during the day for something that tweaked you, something that bothered you, something that got you emotionally engaged and got you upset. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It could be somebody, you know, took your parking spot. It could be something that somebody bumped into you in a supermarket. I don't care what it is. Or somebody said something to you, an off-the-cuff remark that for some reason got you upset. And what you're going to do is you're going to kind of make a little mental note of that and say, oh, that bothered me. I want to work on that issue today and find out why that bothered me. And what you're going to do is, getting into this meditation, is sit quietly and then replay the incident in your mind. So you're going to do it first through a visual and just kind of see it happening in front of you. Just kind of say, oh, this is what happened, that I was at work or I was doing something and somebody said something to me. And so first you kind of see it. And then you go through it again, but I want you to go through it in that emotional state of feeling the feeling that came up for you as you went through that process. So all of a sudden, you say, you know, I was working. Like, I'll have somebody say, you know, I was at work, and somebody went out and got coffee for everybody and didn't ask me. And, you know, it could have been a million different reasons why that happened. It doesn't really matter. But that person felt a feeling. So now what we want to do is say, well, what were you feeling? And, you know, and I'll hear something like, well, I felt like I was unimportant. I felt like I didn't deserve it. I felt like I wasn't worthy. So now what's happening is you're starting to see this from a different perspective. Generally what happens is when we have an upsetting circumstance, you would be mad at that person and say, oh, look, they didn't even ask me. That was rude. So the minute I blame and project, I'm taking it away from myself, and I'm not going to be able to deal with the feeling. So the first thing I want to do is I want to really get into, what am I feeling? Mm-hmm. Now, what will happen is, as you do this more often, it may not happen the first time, what you want to do is you want to look to say, where does this feeling coming from? Where did this come from in my childhood? And what it will do is it will connect you back to generally, and it may not happen again the first time, but it'll connect you back to something that happened when you were a kid. Your mother said something, your father did something, something happened with your parents generally that made you feel unimportant, in this case, using this example, or unappreciated, or you didn't deserve it, or you shouldn't have had that anyway, and I didn't even ask you, because, again, back to what we talked about earlier, the receiving issue.
The memory is still there, and the subconscious will find it.
It's in your energy. So what will happen is that may trigger an event. Now, the minute that event is triggered, what I teach people to do is kind of take that all the way through. Don't jump out of it, and don't try to judge it or rationalize it or say, well, you know, my mother shouldn't have done it, or somebody did the wrong thing. Really just say, how do I feel? Mm-hmm. And you want to get into the feeling. So that feeling of pain that you've never addressed is still there. And that's why you recreate it in your life in different ways. But the real anchor has nothing to do with the woman who didn't get you the coffee at work. It's really about an unresolved feeling that you have with your mother. And that's why you keep recreating it. So the minute you trigger the feeling and you feel it, you say, wow, that's really upsetting to me. And I'm not judging my mother, and I'm not judging myself, and I'm not judging anybody, but I really feel this pain. And you may cry and get upset. And that, what you're doing is, when you go through that process, you're dissolving that energy, which is held in your chakra system, which we didn't really have a chance to get into. But then that energy is being released. And as that energy gets released, what happens is my desire to feel that feeling now starts to go away. And now I won't recreate a situation like that again in the future. Now, you may do it again, but you would do it on a lesser level, because now you'd say, oh, okay, I don't need to recreate a whole big mess like this. I could just, you know, I may do it again, but it won't be as bad. And then you'll release a little more energy, and then you'll just stop doing it altogether.
Because that power of that energy has been released and diminished.
Right. So it's exactly. I like to think of it as I'm dissolving it out, and now my desire to feel upset about not feeling worthy or important or whatever that feeling is not there anymore. So in my energy field, my energy field says, okay, you don't have to. You felt it. Now we're done. We can move on to the next one.
Okay.
And then that's the process that I go through with people early on, just to get them more into the shift from living mentally to living emotionally. And that's the big
Beautiful.
Transition.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, we're getting near the end of the show, so I'd like to ask you, Joe, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can get the book. You can go to karmabuster.com. And you can get the book as a paperback, or you can download it right there on the spot. We have a couple of good bonuses on that page as well. So then you can go there or just Google me, and you'll find my main site, which is Joe, N-U-N-Z, joenunz.com, and it has all other information. But you can go to and some freebies. And I actually have a free webinar that you can download right on the homepage. So you can go on there. It's a whole Karma Buster webinar that I have that I provide for people. Kind of gives you a basic foundation to how this all works. And then, of course, thekarmabuster.com is where the book is.
Okay, awesome. And you're based in the Los Angeles area?
I'm actually in Orange County. I'm in between L.A. and San Diego. So I'm out here in sunny California.
Okay, beautiful. And that's mainly where you give your seminars, your live seminars?
Yeah, I do a lot out here. And then I do go back to New York. I'm actually planning a trip back there in the fall, so I'll be back in New York in October. So we do a lot of stuff in California and a lot of stuff on the East Coast. Those are my two main locations.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, I thank you so much for being on the show today, Joe. It's been very enlightening. I've really enjoyed it. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart from on behalf of all my listeners on Healing from the Heart. And I wish you so much success.
And thank you, Chris, and keep up the great work and spreading the word. And we need people like you out there to keep this momentum going. So thank you so much.
That's my pleasure. So next week on Healing from the Heart, we'll be looking at those three areas that Joe was talking about health, relationships, and prosperity. And we'll be looking at methods that we can all use to heal those. Once again, this is Chris Chimbers. The show is Healing from the Heart on Voice America, Seventh Wave. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
We appreciate you joining us this week on Healing from the Heart. Please join your host, Chris Chimbers, again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave channel. Have an energetic and healing week.